I'm Nate Puderball, their sports update. Out of Muirfield Village, round three is underway at the Memorial Tournament. JT Poston takes the lead into the weekend at 9-under par with Ryan Gerard just one shot back. Sam Burns and Tommy Fleetwood are within five shots. They tee off at 129 with the leaders set to tee off at 140. In the NBA, in game two of the finals, Wemby made a costly turnover with just seconds to go to help the Knicks to a 105-104 victory and a 2-0 series lead. Game three is Monday night. In college football news, the NCAA has denied Texas Tech quarterbacks Brendan Sorsby's appeal. He awaits the ruling of a district judge on a temporary injunction. In St. Louis, the Reds got crushed by the Cardinals 10-3 last night. They square off again today at 2:15. Catch the action right here on The Fan. Cleveland fell on the road at the Rangers 3-2. Game two of that series is tonight at 7:35. Bringing sports news and weapons to The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
This is Tee to Green, Central Ohio's premier golf show. Now here's your host, recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award by the Southern Ohio PGA of America and Hall of Fame, The Fan's own Skip Mossick.
And hi again, everybody. Good morning. Welcome into another edition of Tee to Green here on The Fan. As always, another very busy week in the golf world. It is our favorite of the year with the Memorial Tournament as we come to you from Muirfield Village this morning. JT Poston played lights out yesterday, shoot 65 to lead by one heading into the weekend. We'll hear from some of the leaders coming up in just a bit. We've had him on a few times since the announcement was made, but Dave Shedlosky of Golf Digest and Memorial Magazine was this year's Memorial Tournament Journalism Award winner. We'll chat with Dave about that, as well as an incredible book he put together about the 50 years of this tournament and more. Really suggest you pick up one on your way out if you're coming into the tournament today or tomorrow. Top-level golf does not end in Columbus tomorrow. U.S. Open final qualifying is Monday up at the Lakes. We'll tell you about the day with PGA professional Eddie Klein from the Lakes. And as always, we have another terrific golf prize package from Titleist, The Virtues, and oh, by the way, we have a pair of Golden Bear Club passes for tomorrow's final round here at the Memorial, courtesy of our friends at the PGA Tour Superstore. We'll have details on that coming up shortly. But we begin this week here at Muirfield Village. As always, a great treat to catch up with PGA professional Roger Maltby, longtime broadcaster, now with Golf Channel, and is someone who will be forever known around here as the man who won the very first Memorial Tournament 50 years ago in 1976. Roger, is it kind of cool to be known and remembered for something like that?
Well, you know, it has its goods and bads. You know, I mean, to think that if I'd have won it on the day I was born, I'd be on the senior tour now is kind of scary. But, yeah, it's kind of nice. You know, my life has turned out, I've ended up being a broadcaster a lot longer than I was a PGA Tour professional. But a lot of these guys, you know, they don't even know. These young fellows don't even know. They were born when I won this tournament. They're not even close. You know, their parents probably never met. Maybe their parents weren't even born. So for them to kind of learn and know that, hey, I did do this and did it okay every now and then is nice. And it's nice to have people come up and recognize me that say they were here and they look like they're old enough to be my father in 1976. You know, it kind of skips back and forth to how nice it is.
Well, Roger, you won a couple of tournaments the year prior, your rookie season, but I guess what did winning here in 76 do for you both personally and professionally?
Well, you know, even from day one, from year one here, this was a big stage. And we, the players, knew when we got here that this was a big deal, the way the golf course was designed, laid out, the condition it was in, the size of the crowds. You know, you just go through the checklist, and we knew it was important. And, of course, having Jack Nicklaus's name on it and his fingerprints all over it didn't hurt. So we knew it was a big deal, and to win on a golf course of this difficulty against a terrific field certainly did a lot for me in kind of validating some of the success that I'd had in the year prior, my rookie year. So, yeah, and as I get older, and now, you know, you look at your careers from the end, not from the beginning, it's certainly the most important thing I did in golf.
Roger, you've always been known as a good-natured guy. Does the gallery stake side note to your win here, I guess, make you cringe or just smile knowing that people are always going to remember it?
Well, it makes me smile because the bounce went my way, for one. I'm sure if you ask Tail, it might not have the same reaction. But, you know, when you sit back and think about it, you know, luck is something that is a variable in any golf shot played, okay? And for all the best intentions of the greatest players in the world and the worst amateurs in the world, when they get over a ball to hit it, they have no idea where it's coming down. Tour pros got a better idea, but they hit foul balls. That's just part of the game. And that was a foul ball, and it was obviously a stroke of tremendous luck because, say I was 10 over par playing that hole and got that bounce, who would care?
Right.
Was it lucky? Well, when you get a bounce like that, at that moment in time when it means most to you, that's a stroke of tremendous luck. Certainly the best bounce I ever got in a golf course, and it only brings back fond memories. It's something that will always be remembered about this tournament, and I'm not ashamed of it. I've had plenty of bad bounces in my life, too, so I got a real good one that time.
Do you remember what your winner's check was back in 76?
$40,000, and that was about as big as it got back then.
Tell us about the story of, speaking of checks, something happened the previous year with one of your winner's checks, post-tourney?
See, now there's a few things that need to be explained in advance. That was in Massachusetts. At what was at the time the biggest tournament in New England, the Pleasant Valley Classic. And I had won my first tournament the previous week in the Quad Cities, a smaller event opposite the Open Championship in Scotland. And that was $15,000, but that was a lot of money to me back then. I was driving around an old Ford Galaxy 500. I didn't even have a credit card, okay,
right,
playing the tour. And this is before direct deposit was a thing. So all our checks got mailed home, okay? So I get to Pleasant Valley, and I shoot the cut score. I mean, one shot higher, I'm not there for the weekend.
Okay.
Saturday dawns, it's blowing like crazy, and I shoot 66, and I leapfrog most of the field. And I'm in one of the last few groups on the golf course on Sunday. And that, too, is breezy, not as bad as the day before, but I shoot 67, and I win. Now, like I say, I didn't have a credit card, but we could cash personal checks.
Okay.
So I cashed a check for $600 that morning, which is the max we could cash them for. And because I just, I don't know, cocky, young, just had a feeling I was going to win. And so it came to be. So on the 18th green, we've all seen the pictures with the winner holding the big cardboard dummy check, the huge thing, right? The guy that owned the golf course was a fellow named Cuz Mangola. And he handed me the real check.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. Usually, like I say, they were sent home to you, you know. So now what do you do? I fold it up. I put it in my pocket. Now, you got to understand, I am just turned 24, and I've got more money than I'm the richest person in the world. So we go out. I said, where do we go? I went into the clubhouse, I bought a round of drinks, and then I said, where are we going? We're having a big time. So big life lesson learned that evening. There is a very real difference between falling asleep and waking up as opposed to passing out and coming to. And that's what I did. I had a big night. So, you know, I don't know. Everything seemed like an eternity because I was in a total haze. And it's like, oh, yeah, I won the tournament. I've won two in a row. I'm going to go down and buy a newspaper and read about just how cool I am. So I throw my pants on. I go downstairs and reach in my pocket. I don't have a dollar. I don't have a check. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So, you know, this is before cell phones now. There are no cell phones. I got to go on. I got to get the tournament number, and I call from my hotel room because I got a problem. What kind of problem could you possibly have? I said, well, I lost the check last night. Where'd you do that? I don't know. It really is. It's one of those. It's so silly. But it's one of those. And I got to thinking about it, and I said, oh, I think I know what the name of the place was. And it was T.O. Flynn's, a pub in Worcester, Mass. So at any rate, he says, well, don't worry about a thing. He says, we'll cancel, you know, that check, and we'll send you a new one. I said, oh, dear God, thank you, cuz. I appreciate it. So I called over to the bar, and somebody was cleaning the bar or whatever, and answered the phone, and I said, do you have a lost and found? I lost an item in there last night, and I said, it's really important to me. And the guy went, no, I don't see anything in the lost and found drawer. Just what was it? And I said, well, it was a check for $40,000. What? Yeah, check for $40,000. Anyway, he didn't have it. So I hang up the phone. I get a call back a little while later from the owner of the bar.
Okay.
And he says, Mr. Maupi, we have found it. It was on the floor. And, you know, we have found it, and we'll certainly send it over to you. I said, no need. They're canceled. They voided that check, and they're sending me a new one. And he says, well, okay. Would you mind then if we kept it and framed it and put it behind the bar? I said, do whatever you'd like to with it, okay? So now I hang up the phone. I get to thinking, I don't have any money to get out of town. I don't have a credit card. What am I going to do with a $40,000 check? I'm going to go to Delta and say, here's a $40,000 check. Let me on your plane. I mean, come on. So I called back out and got cuz again. I said, have you sent the fella? And he said, he's just going out the door. I said, could you stop him, please? I said, I don't have any cash. I said, can you make the check for $39,000 and send me $1,000 cash? We can do that. So that's what happened. Now, the kicker to the story, okay, is now that was 1975. Go back to 2015, and in my duties as a reporter for NBC Golf, we're doing one of the FedEx Cup playoff events in Norton, Mass., okay, at the TPC Boston. And one of the golf riders on Wednesday, a guy named Jason Sobel, drove about 40 minutes to Pleasant Valley to play the golf course. He's in there in the pro shop at the front desk, and he's talking to the pro. He says, I'm a writer, da-da-da-da-da. I'm sure trying to get a free tee time. But saying that a lot of history here. He goes, this is where Maupi lost his check, right? And the guy, Paul Parajakis, was the pro, says, yeah, as a matter of fact. He says, I've got the check in my desk in my office. He says, you're kidding me. The bar had closed. They didn't know what to do with the check. They sent it to Paul, to the club, figured they might want it. He just had it for a couple of years sitting in his desk. And he said, Jason says, don't you think Roger would like to have that? He goes, geez, I never thought about it. 2 days later, he drove down to the TPC Norton, presented me the check, so I got the original check 40 years later.
Amazing.
Isn't that amazing? It's a great story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He is a character. More stories from Roger Maupi coming up in just a bit and how he took the step into broadcasting. Stay tuned for that. All right, let's get you caught up with this year's Memorial as we get you warmed up now with some chip shots.
97.1 The Fan's Tita Green Chip Shots, presented by BMI Federal Credit Union.
Muirfield Village played plenty tough on Friday, especially later in the afternoon. Round of the day belonged to our tournament leader, JT Poston, with a 65. Poston had it to 9 under par and leads by 1 and says it's largely due to his putter.
Yesterday, I shot a couple under, played really solid, and felt like I left a few out there with the putter. Didn't quite capitalize on a lot of good iron shots, and so I knew I was hitting it well, and I knew it was going to blow a little harder today and play a little tougher. And I just told myself keep doing what I was doing yesterday and keep giving myself looks. And we worked on the putting a little bit yesterday afternoon and felt like it was starting to improve, and obviously saw that on the course today. So just try and keep doing that.
A shot back of Poston is Ryan Girard at -8, 69 Friday for Girard, who says it was great to get out early in the day Friday before the winds picked up.
Excited to be done early. It's not going to continue playing as easy as maybe I got it on the front nine, so I kind of took advantage. But I didn't hit it very good off the tee. I have some things to work on there from a driving standpoint. I missed a ton of fairways, and that's just something you can't do at this golf course and get away with for the next 36. So I'm going to go work on that. But overall, proud of how I kind of grinded from the spots that I put myself in off the tee.
Three back of Poston at minus six is Sam Burns. A pair of 69s the first 2 days for Burns, who says conditions made scoring tough on Friday.
You know, the greens, like getting the ball close to the hole when it gets that firm and the winds the way they are is extremely difficult. And so I just think a lot of times you're standing out there with a 7 or 8 iron and, you know, you hit it to 30 feet. It's a really good shot. So I think that's why you don't see a ton of birdies. And the margins are just so thin of where you have to land the ball on the greens that just, you know, a couple yards here or there, and it's the difference in making birdie and making bogey.
Again, all chasing your leader, JT Poston, 9 under par, midway point here at Muirfield Village. Elsewhere this week, PGA Champions team event up in Madison. Freddie Jakobsen and Soren Yeltsin, 59 in best ball Friday to lead by one there. Korn Ferry Tour in South Carolina, Vicente Marzilio, Ben Coles, and Sam Choi share the lead at minus eight. Former Buckeye Maxwell Maldivahn makes the weekend at 4 under par. PGA Americas in Mexico, Corey Pereira, minus 10, your leader there by one. Major on the ladies' side with the U.S. Women's Open at Riviera, Allison Lee and Rowing Yin, minus 4. They lead by one. Ohio State's Nelly Ong, plus 11 to miss the weekend. World Tour in Austria, Sebastian Soderberg, minus 8, is your leader there by one. Your leaderboards were brought to you by BMI Federal Credit Union. Check them out at BMIFCU.org. Coming up, more of our fun conversation with Roger Maltby, the very first winner here at the Memorial, and how he began his long broadcasting career after he was done playing. That is next as Tee to Green continues live from Muirfield Village here on The Fan.
Best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows.
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A weather impact alert is in effect today. Expect some scattered showers around lunchtime, with storms becoming more widespread and severe later this afternoon and evening. Some storms this afternoon can produce some strong wind gusts and heavy rain. Things kind of quiet down overnight, and tomorrow looks significantly drier, but we might have a couple lingering morning showers. I'm your 10 Weather Impact meteorologist, Lily Aldrich, with 97.1 The Fan.
You're listening to Tee to Green, live from the Memorial.
Presented by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling. And sponsored by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. Visit pausebeforeyouplay.org.
And welcome back, everybody, live this morning from Muirfield Village. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. We have another terrific golf prize pack that somebody's going to pick up this morning. We have a pair of Golden Bear Club passes for tomorrow's final round here at the Memorial, courtesy of our friends at the PGA Tour Superstore, where we look forward to being out there in a couple of weeks. We have a round of golf to go play up at the Virtues, balls from our friends at Titleist, some fan goodies and more. Again, no Twitter or X contest anymore, so stay tuned. Details in this prize package shortly, and hopefully it will be yours.
This is Backspin. Tee to Green. Backspin.
Round three of the Memorial just now getting underway here at Muirfield Village as we continue our conversation with PGA professional Roger Maltby, the winner of the very first Memorial Tournament back in 1976. Of course, Roger has worked for many years now broadcasting for NBC, now with Golf Channel, walking inside the ropes. And we asked Roger what led him into broadcasting, who approached him about the idea, and was it something he always thought about doing?
Well, one, I never gave a moment's thought about it. I never thought about it. I have no journalism background. I had no idea. And NBC was doing kind of a mass audition at Kapalua, which at the time was an unofficial event in the fall, Mark Rolfing's tournament. And at any rate, there were a number of us that did it. I think Dave Stockton did it, Hale Irwin, Gary Koch, Pat McGowan, this and that. And they moved us around in different positions and whatnot. And you know, I I didn't have any idea that they might hire me or not or offer me anything. But it was a free trip, and to go, you know, go hang out at Kapalua for a week for a few hours work a day. Why not? So I did it. 3 weeks later, they called me and offered me a job. And I was going through rehabbing. Another reason I did it is I had the first of a couple of shoulder surgeries. I said, well, let's stick our toe in the water and see. So anyway, they offered me a job. But the pay was so low, and they were doing so many events. I just told them, I said, I can't take the pay cut. Thank you very much. So I said no. Well, they called me again a couple of years later, and I'd had a second shoulder operation and was rehabbing from that. And I get a call from Larry Cirillo, who was then the producer of NBC Golf, and said, hey, we've got this new technology, and what I want you to do, what's happening is, would you be willing to work the Bob Hope Desert Classic with us, which NBC always did, because Bob Hope was an NBC guy. Yeah. So the Hope was a 90-hole event, five rounds, four courses. And the problem they had back then, there was no cable, okay? None of that on Thursday and Friday, and, you know, that didn't happen. And we did two-hour shows, one Saturday, one Sunday. That was it. And the problem they had is on Saturday, the host course was Indian Wells that year, and all the celebrities would be there, the movie stars, this and that. They planned it all that way. Well, the problem might be that the leader is on another golf course, and you'd never see him hit a shot. But they came up with this technology, RF cameras, which they use today, radio frequency, RF. And, you know, he said, what we'd like to do is put you at another golf course if there's a leader over there or something, so we can cover that action. We've never been able to do that. And I got to thinking, I said, okay, I'm recovering from, like I say, a second shoulder surgery. I said, I'll say yes if you let me do the broadcast of the Ryder Cup, which is going to be the war at the shore at Kiawah Island. He said yes. So I did that, worked at Kiawah, and when we got to Sunday's singles matches, I was assigned the Payne Stewart, wait for it, David Faraday match. Uh-huh. Faraday was on the Euro side. So as it turns out, Faraday is mopping the floor with Payne. He's killing Payne. And a couple of groups up ahead, the U.S. is making a very spirited comeback, and it looks like they got a shot of maybe pulling it out and winning. Mark Calcavecchia is playing Colin Montgomery, and he's four up with four to play. Looks like a sure point, right? Well, if, as it turns out, if Mark makes bogey on any of the holes coming in, he wins the full point. He loses the last four holes, half point. He thinks he's cost the U.S. the deal, but it was a shank into the water on 17. Anyway, Terry O'Neill was then the executive producer of NBC Sports, got in my ear and said, Roger, leave your match. Want you to find Mark Calcavecchia and interview him. Now, I'm still a player. I'm not a TV guy. I'm doing these two events. That's all I've got in mind. And I said, okay. So I go find him. We both had the same instructor, same coach, Peter Costas. And I find him. He's in the television compound in the USA Network trailer with Peter. And I open the door, and he's sobbing, shrieking, his head bent over a trash bin. He's physically ill. And Peter just kind of looked at me and said, put my hands up, said, I understand. I walked out. I went over to our broadcast trailer truck and opened the door, and Terry O'Neill was standing right in the doorway. And he was none too pleased. He says, I told you to go find Mark Calcavecchia and interview him. I said, I found him, but he can't talk. And he said, stay with him. He'll talk. I said, I got a better idea. Why don't you stay with him and you talk to him? Because I'm not doing it. I still got to go to the locker room. I got to play with these guys. I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to cross that line. Don't you know, 2 weeks later, they called me up and offered me a job. And the amount of events were fewer. The pay was better. And I thought, well, I'll give it a try. That was 91, and I'm still doing it to some extent.
We love seeing
Long
you do
story.
It. No, we love seeing you do it, Roger. You mentioned the Ryder Cup. We'll end with this. What's more special to cover, U.S. Open or Ryder Cup, and why?
Ryder Cup. It's personal. You know, the Ryder Cup's personal. Match play is personal. It's not against the golf course. When the guys in 2 weeks go to Shinnecock Hills, they're going to try to figure out a way to play Shinnecock Hills. You play match play, it's you and me. I don't care if I make an 8 on the hole as long as you make a 9, okay? I mean, it's a whole different deal. The ebbs and flows and the tension that can be created by that personal confrontation is pretty exciting. It's fun.
Roger Maltby, PGA professional, of course, the inaugural winner here at the Memorial Tournament. Roger, thanks for the stories and thanks for the time, okay?
My pleasure. Thank you.
So many great stories, and if you couldn't tell, somebody who really enjoys having a good time, PGA professional Roger Maltby, the very first winner of the Memorial Tournament back in 1976. All right, let's go ahead and give away this week's prize package, but let me preface this, please, by saying, please only call if you can come to the tournament tomorrow, because we have 2 Golden Bear Club passes for tomorrow's final round, courtesy of our friends at the PGA Tour Superstore. Caller 9 right now, 614-821-9710, 614-821-9710. Again, please, only if you can use these tomorrow. We also, though, have a round of golf up at the Virtues, some balls from our friends at Titleist, some fan goodies and more. Caller number 9 right now, good luck. Coming up next, we'll chat with this year's Memorial Tournament Journalism Award winner, Dave Shedlosky of Golf Digest and Memorial Magazine. Also, an unbelievable book on the 50 years of this tournament. Dave Shedlosky joins us next as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Colin Mann here.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Weston Air, Heating and Cooling, and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
The mothership is calling Skip Holt.
I know it was just a dream. I know I didn't have an anal probe. And I know that I am not under alien control.
You're listening to Tee to Green, live from the Memorial Tournament.
Presented by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling. And sponsored by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. Visit pausebeforeyouplay.org.
And welcome back, everybody. As always, thank you for tuning in. Hey, congratulations to Zach out in Fort Jennings. Zach was caller 9, picks up the Golden Bear Club passes for tomorrow here at the Memorial, courtesy of our friends at the PGA Tour Superstore. Again, we'll be up there in a couple of weeks. He has a round of golf to go play at the Virtues, balls from our friends at Titleist and more. So again, congratulations to Zach, and stay tuned. We'll have another prize package for you coming up next week.
You are listening to Tee to Green's On the Range.
Joined on the range here at Muirfield Village this morning, Dave Shedlosky, Golf Digest and Memorial Magazine, this year's Memorial Tournament Journalism Award winner. And Dave, I know you said you were a little nervous about the honoree ceremony going into Wednesday. You were great, but how was it for you?
Well, it was very special, Skip, and thank you for having me on, by the way. It's always wonderful to talk to you. It was a wonderful experience. It was overwhelming, emotional, it left me speechless except for the speech, obviously, because I had to, I had to get through that, and, a little nervy, but we made it through, and I'm just grateful to the committee for voting for me, and grateful to the Nicholases and everyone here that I've been able to do this for as long as I have. It's just basically all about age, Skip. Come on, what are you doing?
No, it's very well deserved.
Thank you.
You're so good at what you do. You mentioned the Nicholas family. You've worked so long, Dave, with the Nicholases over the years. You closed your speech with how Jack was your hero. Many times when those of us who do what we do, we get to meet some of our sports heroes. Sometimes it can be disappointing. Didn't get the sense that that's anything at all the case with one Jack Nicklaus.
No, and it never was. When I did the book in 2000 on his last championship season, I wrote in the, you know, a little forward to it that said that, you know, we were in an era, and we, and unfortunately we still are, where we deconstruct all the wonderful people who have done, who have accomplished a lot in their lives. I mean, you know, I mean, people think that, you know, these days people think the founding fathers of America are, you know, are all bad guys. But getting to know Jack Nicklaus, I was never once disappointed, you know, with the experience, and I've never have been since. And he's been so good to me over the years, so gracious, he and Barbara both. And, yeah, he was my hero when I was a kid, and he remains so.
He's he's the real deal, no doubt about it. In addition to all the work you always do, Dave, for Memorial Magazine each year, tell us about this beautiful book, though, that's out for this year's tournament, Memorial Memories. I mean, it's quite an accomplishment, and I can't recommend for people enough to pick one of these up on your way out if you're in today or tomorrow, because it's something, it's really, really special. You can tell a ton of work went into it.
Thank you, Skip. And, you know, if they're going to pick one up, they might need both hands, because
on the way out.
Because it's sizable. And,
yes.
And that's good, because we were able to tell the full story of Jack and the Memorial Tournament and how he put this together. Look, you know, it's the 50th anniversary here of really one of the great tournaments in golf. And when I say one of the greats, I'm saying top.
Yes.
You know? And so there's so many great, but it's actually a 60-plus year, you know, narrative of Jack thinking about doing this, and then, you know, in 1966 building or buying some of the property and getting it going. And we just love telling that story from the beginning, how it all came about and where we are now, and celebrate, you know, essentially one of the great, you know, one of the great accomplishments we've ever seen in sports, certainly in Columbus and possibly, you know, anywhere.
Dave, you've covered this event. You've historical notes about this event for so many years. This was a deep dive, though. Was there things that maybe even you learned that you didn't know before when you started piecing all this together?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, obviously covering, you know, going back to my first one in 1986, I know a lot about what's gone on in those years, but going back and digging into the deep dive of the purchasing of the property and the design of the golf course and the desire for Jack to build what is essentially the first stadium golf course. I mean, nobody had thought of that before, where they thought that, you know, this was built for tournament golf. And I mean, nobody did these things. Jack was so far ahead of his time. And, you know, it was just wonderful to find the information and tell the story of how he got through it all. And I want to thank Dan Sullivan, the executive director here, who backed that project and made it happen. Mm-hmm. And of course, I got a shout out to Larry Hasek, the art director, who, you know, laid it all out, put it all together, and made sure there were a lot of photos for Jack, too.
I tell you, and that was where I was going to go next, is the photos are unbelievable.
Aren't they?
How long did it take to go through all of those, and how much time did it take just to pare down to what you have in here? I'm sure there's some that you would like to have used. Sure. Just ran out of space.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole project was more than a year in the making. So,
wow.
I mean, Larry spent a lot of time digging through the archives here at the Memorial Tournament, at the Nicklaus Museum, at Getty Images, at Columbus Dispatch, their archives of photos, and you know, and of course, you know, several other sources, including the Nicklaus family. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Larry did a remarkable job in really organizing it, because, you know, all I do is basically say, okay, here's all the copy, go do something with it, and it came out beautifully.
It's spectacular. Again, can't recommend people to pick one up enough on your way out if you're here at the tournament today or coming out tomorrow.
And tell them to find me. I'll sign it.
Absolutely.
Just like yours.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for doing it. You mentioned this tournament, and we'll get in real quick about what's happening the first couple of days, but
yeah.
50 years of this thing. In your opinion, Dave, how has this tournament continued to be a bar above just about every other event on tour? After all these years, they just continue to make improvements out here.
I don't know. Frankly, I don't know how they do it, except that I know who does it. And, of course, it starts with the standards set by Jack and Barbara. I mean, you know, when the pro showed up here in 1976, they couldn't believe that it was in better shape than Augusta.
Yeah.
You know, the property was wonderful. The practice area, they'd never seen anything like that. There were just so many things, so many touches, treating the players the way they did with food and childcare and transportation and everything that goes into players wanting to be here. And Ernie Els really said it best about playing in the tournament itself. When you show up here, it makes you feel like you want to play golf. And that just says it all, that if you know you're inspired to play. And then, of course, carrying out that mission is Dan Sullivan and HNS Sports carrying it out. Yep. and executing what Jack and Barbara would want to have done.
I always appreciate this event. If you're here in Central Ohio, never take this event for granted. No. I tell Dan Sullivan that every year. I said, hey, this thing is very, very special. Dave Schidlowski, again, this year's Memorial Tournament Journalism Award winner. Read him throughout the year at golfdigest.com. Congratulations again on your award. So well-deserved. And, again, recommend people pick up both the Memorial Magazine as well, but also a copy of this year's Memorial Memories book. Okay.
Skip, always a pleasure, sir.
All right. Dave Schidlowski, again, this year's Memorial Tournament Journalism Award winner. Coming up, top-level golf does not end, though, here in Central Ohio after tomorrow. Monday is the final stage of U.S. Open qualifiers. We'll have one here in town up at the Lakes. Their head pro, Eddie Klein, will join us next as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan. The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. All golf. All the time. You're listening to Tee to Green, live from the Memorial.
Presented by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling. And sponsored by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. Visit pausebeforeyouplay.org.
And welcome back, everybody. Tee to Green rolls on live from Muirfield Village. Round three is currently underway. If you missed any part of today's show, our conversation with Roger Maltby and more, download the Tee to Green podcast. Just search Tee to Green wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to hit subscribe. Quick check of your Memorial Tournament leaderboard presented by BMI Federal Credit Union. Tee off towards a more personal banking experience at BMI Federal Credit Union. Visit BMIFCU.org. JT Poston at -9, Ryan Gerard a shot back at -6, at -8, Sam Burns at -6, and then a whole bunch of guys ready to pounce. We'll see if the scoring is any better today. Just 11 players under par the first couple of days. Again, golf wraps up here in Central Ohio after the Memorial. It doesn't wrap up after tomorrow. Monday is the final stage for U.S. Open qualifying. Central Ohio, per usual, has one of those qualifiers up at the Lakes Golf and Country Club. PGA professional Eddie Klein from the Lakes joins us right now. And Eddie, any idea how many times the Lakes has hosted this? I know it's been a bunch.
We started back in 1992, and we typically do it every other year. So I guess we've probably had it 15 to 17 times.
I mean, yeah, the place isn't that old, Eddie. I mean, relatively speaking, opened in 89. The USGA must like something about the place. What is it?
The players like to come here. You know, we've always had just a nice venue between us and Brookside, two different golf courses. And that's when the golf courses were played on two separate golf courses. And this year, with the field being smaller, we're down to just the Lakes Golf and Country Club for the qualifier for 36 holes.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Eddie. Has the number of players, I guess, trying to qualify here in Columbus, you know, gone down a little bit after the Memorial became a signature event a few years back? I mean, meaning a lot of those players, you know, may have already been in and exempt because, you know, as mentioned, it used to be played on two golf courses for many years.
It's made a huge difference. I think in the past we've had 120 players for anywhere from 12 to 16 spots. We don't know how many they're going to take through to the Open, but there are 54 players scheduled, and if anybody cancels, they will not replace him. So in other words, there are some guys that are on the bubble that might play well at Muirfield, and they get into the field and those spots will not be replaced.
Tell us about the golf course up there at the lakes, Eddie, for folks who've not been out there before. Originally designed by Ed Snead, I know there's some really challenging holes out there. You know, how do some of these players that will be out there Monday typically score?
Well, in the past, it's varied just depending on conditions. Using two golf courses, the number to qualify has been anywhere from 4 under to 9 under. And I think the way that they look at it, some of the golfers have said to me that they just try and play the par fives well. If they can play the par fives, you know, 4 under over the two rounds, then typically they'll have a shot of getting into the Open. It's really hard to tell right now because in the past we've had 12 to 16 qualifiers with the field being bigger.
Sure.
But this year we haven't gotten that number. It's based on the strength of the field and the number of qualifiers. So I'm guessing it'll be anywhere from 3 to 4 people that will make it through to the Open.
I know you guys have made some improvements and changes to the golf course the last couple of years. Is the biggest defense for the golf course against some of these top players, Eddie, maybe the greens? I mean, I remember from past years just how slick they can be at times.
Yeah, the greens are perfect right now, and they're going to have great playing conditions. I think what's usually been made it difficult in the past is that we get a lot of rain around the Memorial Tournament, and our roughs are tough to cut. But, you know, this year they might have it a little easier. We've been brought in some robots that are cutting about a third of our roughs, and it's made a huge difference. I mean, the balls still sit down, but it's just really nice. It's manicured the golf course really well. I think they'll all be impressed.
It's always a neat day for fans to come out and experience and see these guys really up close and personal. For folks coming up there to the lakes on Monday, Eddie, where do you recommend that they park? And, you know, where are they welcome to go? And I guess, is there any place they shouldn't go?
Yeah, parking is pretty much available where our members would normally park. We do have places assigned for food. We'll have our grill open. They can watch the players on the range. Not too much is roped off. We do rope off the putting green area is about the only spot. All we ask is that you respect the players. I mean, when you look at it, they're trying to play their way into the Open. But it is different from the Memorial because you can get up close and watch. And if they're willing to talk to you, you know, while they're playing, it's kind of a unique situation. You'll see guys in shorts that normally aren't wearing shorts in an event, and it's just a nice day for our members. Our members enjoy it, and that's why we continue to do it every other year.
We've always loved the golf course up there at the lakes. If folks will be heading up there Monday for the very first time, I think you really love walking the grounds and seeing what the course is all about. PGA professional Eddie Klein, head pro at the Lakes Golf and Country Club. I know it's old hat for you guys, but good luck with the qualifier Monday, okay?
Thank you so much, Skip. You have a great day.
On this week's show, thanks to our guests, 1976 Memorial Tournament champion Golf Channel's Roger Maltby and this year's Memorial Journalism Award winner Dave Shedlaski. Fan Sports Saturday is next here from Muirfield Village with Reeser and Tito. For Nate Puderball in studio and for Cam Taylor and Jay Collins out here on site, I'm Skip Mossick. Enjoy the golf this weekend. Coverage on our sister station 10TV begins at 2:30 this afternoon. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you again next Saturday morning for another edition of Tee to Green right here on The Fan.
You know I'll be in church next Sunday to save me from the double bogey blues.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon. The